You know, at the beginning he says, God, why have you forsaken me? But it says, no, verse 24, he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And that he rose Christ from the dead. Or raised, I'm sorry. He raised Christ from the dead. He also hears us. And see, David in that psalm had a mind of the future when he said about the seed that was coming. He could, you know, it was a future. The seed would serve him, right? This generation that would come forth. And then they would declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born. It's for the time yet to come. This isn't for us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. You know, this was revealed to them. It was not to themselves, but for a people to come. This is almost, certainly, I think he has in mind Psalm 22. At least that's the one I can really see it demonstrated, what he's saying. The Holy Ghost, and even the, he's saying, even the angels desire to look into these things. That they could be a part of it. You know, it's like so wonderful. It's so divine. It's so beautiful. It's such a great and powerful salvation. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So he's saying, because of this, looking into this salvation, this great and holy calling we have, this lively hope. I mean, that's the subject. We have this lively hope, this salvation. Be sober. Hope to the end. I mean, don't stop hoping, which means to expect. Keep increasing in faith. Keep increasing in virtue, in knowledge, in the things of God, in righteousness, in godliness. For the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that, you know, we are looking to that final grace, all right, but not to the exclusion of the current. But you know what he's saying is, keep on, press on. He wants to stir our minds up towards that. You know, the idea of girding up your loins, I should say. You know, you always see in the New Testament times, guys are wearing those, you know, long garments down to their ankles. And imagine if you had to go to war and something like that. You know, you would kind of trip over your skirt, you know. So what they would do is they would have, that's what the belt was for, you know. And they'd kind of gird it up. You know, kind of wrap things around and get it up so that it was tight around your legs. And so you could run and move and your legs were, you know, free. So he's saying, obviously this is a bit of an analogy, you know, gird up the loins of your mind. He's saying, get your thoughts ready to move. Get ready to do battle with your mind. Think. Okay? Towards the, be sober-minded. Hope to the end. As obedient children. Again, we're not just God's children just to be little brats, spoiled.
Daddy doesn't care what we do. We can do anything we want. We can sin, and he still loves us.
Though that be true, though God loves us while we were yet sinners, if we are his children, okay, God expects us to be good children, obedient children, okay? And don't worry, this is not something that's beyond your abilities. If you feel that way, you got to consider Abraham, who was way too old to have a son. And his wife, well, she was barren, and she was old too. But when God promised him a son, he did not stagger at the promise of God. So you, when God says, "Be ye holy as I am holy," don't stagger. "I can't do that. I can't do that. I need to talk to my pastor." No. Listen. We cannot fashion. Again, fashion is conform ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. The things we did in our past, in our ignorance, we don't want to conform to that anymore. Because, why? Hey, he's holy, so we have to be holy. In all manner of conversation, in the New Testament, we think of that as like, "Hi, how are you doing?" No. It means behavior. Okay? Including your conversations. But our behavior has to be holy. What does holy mean? Holiness. It includes the ideas of godliness and righteousness, but it is with a mind of being separated in a sense of set aside for a special purpose. The holy and the profane. The common and the holy. We want to be a peculiar people. Not like the rest of the world. Not, again, conforming to the old ways. And notice how he talks about this, the former lusts, obedience, holiness. These are all things the New Testament writers all expected us to partake of. And in the New Testament, as we taught in Romans and all the other epistles, the instructions are quite clear. We obtain these things by grace through faith. When grace reigns through righteousness. When grace is reigning in our lives, you see righteousness in your life. Because the evidence of grace is righteousness. It's God giving those things which are needful for righteousness, for holiness, for godliness. If you call on the Father,